He was told to build the Great Exhibition in West London. And I just wanted to show you this map. So we've moved west. We're in Hammersmith here. But he was asked to clear farmland. And do you see this white patch here? This is the farmland that was Old Oak Farm, just above Shepherd's Bush Green, 140 acres to create his exhibition. And it was an astonishing achievement. In just 18 months, Kiralfy had created 20 wedding cake-like structures, palaces, exhibition halls. Extraordinary. There was even an artificial lagoon here where you can see a swan boat, and you could catch a swan boat and sail past all these beautiful palaces. There were all sorts of exhibitions, as I said, but there were also model villages from the different colonies of France and Britain, and there was even a recreation of a real life-size Irish village, complete with residents. So there we go. Here's the machinery hall. And again, it's all kind of like a big theatre set, a fantasy a fairground. And it was an enormous success. People came the day. It was a day trip out for all the family. Yes, you could marvel at the new inventions of these two great nations, but also there were restaurants, cafes, and funfair attractions. They had the scenic railway, which looks really like something out of Disneyland. Or for the very brave, you might go on what was called the Flip Flap. Now, this was a funfair ride which spun you upside down. And I think you can see there are people at the top of the wheel. And from the top of the wheel, you could gaze out across and see Windsor Castle, 20 miles away, upside down. 8 million people came to visit the British Franco exhibition in 1908. It beat the record of the Great Exhibition by about 1 million people. And at the 11th hour, Kiralfy was asked to add a sports stadium. Why? He was asked to provide a sports stadium because London, at the very last minute, at the 11th hour, had been asked to host the London Olympics of 1908. And this is what he came up with. I think you can see the White City in the background. And the White City, as it became known, is long gone. But of course, the name still echoes today. We've got a tube station, haven't we, on the Central Line called White City. The stadium was a miracle, really. It was built in just 10 months. But why had London been asked to host the Olympic Games of 1908? Well, it was supposed to be Italy to host the Games. But in 1906, disaster befell Italy. Mount Vesuvius erupted, and all the money that was going to be channeled into the Olympics had to be channeled into rebuilding this beautiful city and helping those who were homeless. And so London was asked to step up, quite a challenge. But cometh the moment, cometh the man, and this gentleman, Lord Desborough, emerged as the chairman of the British Olympic Committee. Yes. Now, he was a gung-ho aristocrat. Yes. He'd climbed the Matterhorn. He was very sporty. He'd rowed for Oxford in the Oxford and Cambridge boat race, and he'd even swum across the Niagara Falls. So basically, he was a man who was not afraid of a challenge. And he took on the challenge of the Olympic Games. He approached Kiralfy, and Kiralfy agreed to build the White City Stadium in return for a bit of the box office takings when the tickets were sold for the London Olympics. And yes, it had a racetrack, it obviously had athletic tracks, a cycle track, it even had a swimming pool, and it could hold 90,000 spectators, and it was built in just 10 months. These Olympics actually competitors came from 21 different countries, and there were 2,000 competitors for 21 different events, and it was an absolute triumph. In fact, it actually gave a resurgence of interest in the whole idea of the Olympic Games and made it a worldwide event. So it was a really sort of crucial point in Olympic history. And there were firsts. You might have got a little hint of one of the first. Well, for many, originally, only the winners got a medal at the Olympics. But in the London Olympics of 1908, that changed.
yes, the winner got a gold medal, but this is when silver medals and bronze medals were awarded to second and third position. So that was a brand new first in 1908. The other great first was it was the very first Olympic Games that allowed women to compete. And in fact, one of the great British sports personalities of these Olympics was Charlotte Dodd, or Lottie Dodd, as she was known to her friends. Now, she was already quite a famous sportswoman because she'd won the Wimbledon Lawn Championships at the tender age of 15. But Charlotte turned her attention to archery and won the silver medal. So there you go. Good old Lottie Dodd. Also, famously, the mileage of the marathon was changed for the London Olympics. It had been 25 miles, but it got changed. And this is why. This is the route of the marathon for the White City Olympic Games. And it starts here. I think you can see there's Windsor Castle, where my dot is. And Windsor Castle, it decided it was going to start at the gates of Windsor Castle, and it would finish at the stadium, which was not 25 miles away, but 26 miles away. So we get the extra mile there. But where does the 385 yards, which is now the marathon race sort of length, isn't it? It's 26 miles and 385 yards. Well, the story goes that at the very last minute, Queen Alexandra, and there's Windsor Castle in the background, she said, oh, I would really like it if my children could see the start of the marathon. Could you move the starting line back to underneath the nursery window so they can see it? And they did. And that's where the extra 385 yards comes from. So now you know. Of course, one of the most dramatic moments of the whole Olympics was the final event, the marathon. And here we can see the final moments of that. Now, this is the runner that's been in the lead. This is the rather diminutive 5'3" tall Italian runner by the name of Durando Pietri. And he was a surprise outsider. He was actually made candy in Capri. There you go. But he became the out and out sort of leader for the whole race. But once he got into the stadium in the last 400 yards before the finish line, he was so exhausted that he collapsed, not once or twice, but on five different occasions, and had to get medical help. Got up, still in the lead, kept running, and then 5 yards from the finishing line, he collapsed again and was helped over by these two gentlemen here. I think you can see we've got one of the judges of the Olympic Games, and this is a newspaper reporter coming to the aid of poor Pietri. Heartbreakingly, he was disqualified because he'd been helped over the line. Oh no, but the public wanted him to have won, and the public feeling for Pietri was such that Queen Alexandra presented him with his very own gold cup. There we go. And if that's not in the spirit of the Olympic Games, then I don't know what is, because it's not, you know, the winning that matters, it's the taking part, isn't it? So, what have we got so far? We've got all sorts of things. We've got grand events, we've got grand interactions, we've got grand exhibitions and grand buildings. But what of Londoners themselves? What of the residents of London? What's going on for them? Well, there's something very significant happening in the centre of London.